Good morning. Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 31st. Joining us in a couple of minutes will be Assistant Fire Chief for Humble Bay Fire, Chris Edmonds. But we can take this chance to get the quote out of the way, and then when we come back, Chris will be here. It comes from Rainer Wilke, quote, "In the difficult are the friendly forces, the hands that work on us." It's 8:19, and we'll be back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Hi, Chris, with Chris Edmonds.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Unfortunately, this one wasn't a planned visit, but I appreciate the flexibility.
That's okay.
You know, you didn't strike me as somebody who's into yoga, but like the flexibility.
We'll make it work.
Yes. You guys have been kind of halfway active this week, huh? A couple fires here, a couple fires there.
Mm-hmm. Does it's been a busy week.
Is any of it weather related? Or were any of them weather related?
Firewise, no. We have had weather related incidents. Last night, we had units respond to a tree that had fallen onto a structure, and there was some concern about that, but they got out there and took a look at it, and it did damage to the structure. However, it wasn't an imminent threat to any people.
So you guys respond for downed trees also?
Well, this one, because it was a significant hazard onto a structure.
Okay. There was a report, it wasn't local, Monday or Tuesday, I think it was on the national news. A kid died because he picked up a live downed wire. Well, you're familiar enough with it. Obviously it's a concern. Is that a regular issue or often enough so that maybe we're not preaching it enough?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, obviously we get a lot of wind around this area and this time of year especially. And earlier this week we had some power lines that came down due to a traffic collision. And the power lines were energized and they fell across a number of vehicles with people still in the vehicles. And just because a power line is laying there and isn't moving around or showing any sparks or anything like that, it's still a significant threat. And all it takes is completing that circuit or that ground to cause someone to be electrocuted by it. So we want people to stay away from power lines. And one of our policy is if there's a power line down, we stay back at least one span from the power line.
A span
meaning like if there's a power line down on a street and between those two power poles, we will stay beyond those two power poles and cordon off the area.
Okay, long ways.
We stay a long way.
I'm trying to think the sideways, going half a block down the road, and you know.
Right. We just want to stay as far away as possible from it because they can arc and they can jump and it could cause
or just have a little nick in it.
Yeah.
So there's the live juice right there if you do it right.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to take the chance.
I understand. And then. You call PG&E or whoever.
Correct. They're the experts with it. So, yeah. And they're really quick about getting out to calls like that when we call them because usually when we're there, that's a pretty big deal.
It goes from casual to serious.
Sure.
In a nano.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. If you're in a car and something drops, like you had alluded to earlier, just stay in the car and you're okay?
Yes. What we tell people is to stay in the vehicle. However, if for some reason the vehicle's on fire and you need to get out, obviously,
risk reward.
There's only one thing you can do, and we don't want people to do this unless they absolutely have to. They have to jump as far away from the vehicle without touching the vehicle and touching the ground at the same time. They just have to get as far away from it, and if that's their only option. Otherwise, stay in the vehicle, and they're safer in the vehicle.
So don't do 1 foot down, 1 foot
correct.
In, jump.
Right.
However.
Right, and that's a last resort. That is absolutely the last resort. So.
Yeah, and I can imagine there's plenty of different scenarios and different types of concerns. So you recommend they just stay there until the utility company arrives?
Absolutely, yes, because the utility company is going to come out. They can render the power line safe, you know, pull fuses, reroute it, whatever however they work their magic to make it safe. And at that point, they will be told when they can exit their vehicles when it's safe.
If a car is running, keep it running? Turn it off?
You know, they...
Does that add to it or detract?
I don't think it adds to it.
Okay.
I don't think it matters with that. The key point is not completing the ground.
Sounds to me like you're about as deep in the topic of automotive engineering and electrical engineering as I am.
My expertise is putting the wet stuff on the red stuff.
Yeah, and you don't want to probably do that either.
No,
don't throw any water on the car. Yeah, don't wash your car either at that time or use your windshield wipers.
Right.
So that was just a simple traffic accident earlier this week and hit the pole and dropped the pole?
I'm not up on the specifics of it, but I believe it was a large truck had contacted a pole and the power lines came down.
I think that's got to be almost as exciting as driving behind the slide.
Right.
Or just into the... Just after the slide, just before a slide drops.
Looking in your mirror and seeing it come down behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we don't have any of those occasions in the next little bit either, huh?
I hope we have some changing weather that works with.
Yeah. No. Are you guys dealing with any of the weather stuff?
Not right now. I mean, we still get some of the calls for power lines down, trees down. Yes, we do respond to trees down if they're in the roadway and such. When we were in the midst of winter and we were getting some flooding, we would respond out for some flooding calls.
But not in the north. It doesn't compound anything that you don't have more medical aids because of, or less medical aids, more fires or less fires.
Not typically. But the winds can significantly impact our fires. I mean, yesterday was there were three significant fires throughout the county yesterday, and I believe the wind probably played a role in increasing the fire behavior on those structures that were burning.
It's always interesting how that can happen, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blow away the clouds, but don't, yeah. too much fun. When you guys respond, does the weather have any impact to how you guys lay things out?
Absolutely, yes. We definitely want to approach from upwind.
Good deal. It has to do with all kinds of things. It's 8:19. 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Really? We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Edmonds from the Humble Bay Fire Department. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Chris, one of the things that I find interesting, and I guess it's kind of, we're in a period of turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we are, always aren't. But we've got new city manager Monday afternoon in Fortuna. We've got a new superintendent as of this morning around 10 o'clock. Okay. We've got all of these opportunities. You know, CHP's got a new guy. Billy's still relatively new in his office.
Mm-hmm.
Andy. There's a number of folks. The names are all familiar for us. And Billy Hansel
mm-hmm.
coming in, backfilling for Sheriff Mike. It seems like everybody's playing better together. Is this the mix of new blood, young blood, turfdom? Well, you got Jason also over in Arcata Fire. Right. You know, all of this, and it kind of seems like everybody's breathing a little deeper, breathing a little bit easier, working together a little bit better. Is that your sense from inside?
Well, I've been doing this for 24 years, and I think where we're at now, everybody is really being proactive about developing relationships and how we can work together, because we have to rely on each
other. For real. I mean, yes. We've heard lip service, as you know, for years and years and decades and decades. It seems like it's really real now.
Right. It feels like, for lack of a better term, the lines are blurred and we're working with each other quite a bit.
One staff.
Mm-hmm.
Different areas of
interest. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I would think. So for fire protection, I know over the years we've talked about, well, what about having a Humboldt Bay fire that really is Bay Area all the way around, but you've got, you know, the volunteers in certain areas, you've got paid staff in other areas and different cultures and all that kind of stuff. But is everybody kind of working together now as a single unit? May have a different color fire truck or a different patch on your sleeve, but is everybody kind of working together, almost interchangeable?
I wouldn't go as far as saying we're completely interchangeable yet, because each agency specifies in certain things. We specify in hazmat and USAR, urban search and rescue. Cal Fire, their specialty is wildland. But we're all cross-trained in all these different disciplines of the fire service, and there are some basic fundamental skills we all have that allows us to work well together on fire ground. For instance, we went to Neyland yesterday for a fire and worked with Neyland Fire Protection District or Volunteer Fire Department. And so these people, we see each other all at the same trainings. We see each other at the same incidents. So, yes, we do work well together.
So if you have specialties in Humboldt Bay Fire, I'm sure other departments have different, I'm hoping, specialties, so you guys can share specialists,
mm-hmm.
or bring somebody in?
And we do have joint groups such as the hazmat team and the USAR team. We have people from various agencies that belong to that core group of specialists.
So what is the area that tends to be most used?
Operationally, we have operations and prevention that we're working together on. And we do have joint groups. For instance, Humboldt Bay Fire is partnered with Arcata Fire on fire prevention services. We have groups that do fire investigation. We have groups that are going out and doing joint training sessions. And we're trying to establish or build that foundation of everybody is working or playing by the same rule book.
Everybody has specialties, special areas of interest. Are there, with all of the staff size that there is there an opportunity for somebody not to be a hose dragger also and be so good, so narrow that, okay, I'm the investigator. Your worst dreams. I'm the investigator, okay, and I investigate fires. I don't drag hose. I'm not wearing the moon suits. I'm not doing. I come in afterwards and I clean up. Is there enough critical mass with all the various departments to have a fire investigator?
I think with the larger department or the many smaller departments within Humboldt County, there's an opportunity for that. For instance, you referenced fire investigation. At my department, the fire investigators specialize in the origin and cause of the fire. However, we don't specialize at all in the law enforcement end of it. So that's where we have to rely on our partners at the Sheriff's Office and Eureka Police Department and any other agencies that we work with relative to law enforcement, take the information and develop that and hand that over to them so that they can do their specialty.
So it's kind of like a shared responsibility.
Right.
You don't take it to the end.
We know just enough to be able to support them and help them with their function.
So you're
and vice versa.
You're an information resource for them.
Right.
When they go out and try to find the bad guy.
Correct.
There is a bad guy.
Correct.
Fire science, accurate term?
Sure. It works.
Well, versus firefighting.
Right.
Fire prevention. I mean, the science sounds like it moves into a whole different arena. As far as either prevention or determination, things of that nature. How deep is your chemistry?
Huh.
Whoops, sorry.
Yeah. Well, when you come in as a firefighter, you are taught fire behavior, which is reliant on your knowledge of fire science. So you are relying on what flow paths happen, you know, what happens when a fire gets more oxygen, where it's going to go.
The physics of it.
And that dovetails into other aspects of the job, such as fire prevention. I mean, we're firefighters. We're all trained as firefighters, but we also specialize in the fire prevention end of things.
I mean, see, physics, chemistry, biology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much all the sciences are there. Probably a little bit of humanities, but not too much.
There's actually quite a bit to it.
Well, okay, a little bit of psychology when mm-hmm. you're, you know, working with folks and stuff, but it's not just being a fireman.
It's
a different. Is that an awakening for some of the younger folks who are thinking about that as a career option?
Yes, it is, and I think that's one of the things we want to get across to the new firefighters coming in. We're human beings that put out fires, not firefighters that are human beings. So look at it from that standpoint.
Significant juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
That's my big word for the day, juxtaposition. Can't spell it, but I can use it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Chris Edmonds.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Edmonds. You want to say anything to Eddie, by the way?
Nah, we'll just let him fly.
No, okay. Message was received, I believe. For the youngsters or for folks that are looking for a career change and they are interested in fire service, how do you get into what? If I said, Chris, close your eyes and tell me who is the prototypical, the guy or gal that you say, that person is what we want to use as our template when we're hiring somebody for the fire department. And we kind of already talked a little bit about the sciences as a background. I would imagine somebody familiar with those would have a much more easier time. What do you look for?
Well, I think the first thing we're looking for is someone that has a passion for it. For the job itself, they have an interest. It's not just someone that wants to, you know, show up and punch a time card and, you know, be at the fire station. They actually have to have a passion for it. And beyond that, it's people that take initiative and they want to go out and get trained and learn the science and learn the job itself. And it's also those people that come in, they want to develop others because the industry itself is always changing. And they have to be willing to help the up-and-comers. And
like a formal mentorship or an informal?
Either. So much of what we do is informal. It may be one of those you have a senior firefighter that has been around for 15 years, but they're the one that might be looked to as the informal leader on the team. You know, you have a captain. You have a rank structure, but that's that person that the junior firefighter can go to and say, I get it. I know what I'm supposed to do here and what policy says. Can you help me understand this? And that's where that leadership steps up. And those are the leaders we develop in the fire department later on.
Is there an it?
An it.
For firefighting? I mean, there is an it for entrepreneur. They've got it. And you can't, you know when it's there, but you really, it's very, very difficult to quantify it. But you know when it's there, it's there.
I think so, and I think it's the person that shows up, the one that shows up and wants to do it.
Hey, see, I knew you had a message, Freddie. Show up. Thanks, man. See everybody Monday.